Well, let's get in the Word this morning. We're going to jump in Matthew chapter 10 today. The Lord's placed a word on my heart today. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And I'm actually going to read out of a little different translation this morning, and it's the New Century Version. But if we could stand for the reading of the Word this morning. Matthew 10, verse 32. If you're there, say, I'm going to take a stand. Very fitting. All right, and it says this, all those who stand before others and say they believe in me, I will say before my Father in heaven that they belong to me. But all who stand before others and say they do not believe in me, I will say before my Father in heaven that they do not belong to me. I want to stop in that scripture right there. Father, I thank you for your word today, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, we're going to leave forever changed. Lord, I thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit today, God. I thank you for quickening us today. I thank you for just a renewed boldness and courage today, a new passion, Father, for your word and for the things of you, God. And Lord, that we just want to be set on fire for your kingdom and for your purposes today. So I just thank you for release today and activation today, Lord, that we just wouldn't sit on the sidelines or just spectating, Father, but we'd be an active participator in what you're doing on the earth today, Father. So I just thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick verse sharing this morning. I know this verse is one of those that kind of grabs your attention. It's not one of those you can easily just pass by. You kind of got to sit in it and soak in it a little bit because there's just scriptures in the Bible that have separation lines. There's defining lines of certain scriptures in the Bible. Sometimes it's like Christian, non-Christian, believer, non-believer. There's these dividing lines, lines of separation, these defining lines sometimes we see in the scriptures. And this is one of those scriptures that has a defining line. And Jesus says this, those who share their faith even before others or declare faith in me or and have believe in me, those I will say that they belong to me, and I will say before my Father that they belong to me, but those who hide and say they don't even know me and deny me, those I'll say before my Father in heaven that I don't even know them. This is kind of a heavy scripture, and I just want to see the key word. The key word is stand. All those who stand, and I really want us to ask the question today if we are really truly standing for Christ. Are we really, truly standing for Christ today? And I just want to say this. Will the real Christians please stand up? Yeah, there we go. Will the real Christians please stand up? I wasn't planning that, but you can do that anyway, so you can do that. Respond to the word. It's a prophetic act. But I'll say this about Christians, that we are not ashamed. We're not ashamed. I'll say one thing about us. We're not ashamed of God. We're not ashamed to be sons and daughters. We're not ashamed of who God is. We're not ashamed to lift our hands in worship. We're not ashamed of the Word of God and the principles of God. I know a lot of people might think that we're crazy because we believe a book that's been written thousands of years ago. But what people don't understand is the Word of God is written under the divine inspiration and influence of the Holy Spirit, recorded by men. It is alive and it is powerful. It is living. And if you're not getting anything out of reading the Word of God, just keep reading, keep doing. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to illuminate it, because He will. It is alive and is living. We're not ashamed of the Word of God, the power of God. We're not ashamed of it. True Christians are not ashamed to be Christians. You're one of those Jesus lovers. Yeah, I am. I'm proud of it. Or DC Talk, you know, you're a Jesus freak. That was one of my favorite songs growing up. Yeah, I'm one of those. I'm one of those Jesus lovers. You're Spirit-filled? Yeah, I am. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. Not ashamed to be full of the Spirit. Not ashamed to be His son and daughter. Not ashamed to lift my hands and worship. Not ashamed to call Him my Father. I'm not a secret Christian. I'm not a private Christian, but I'm proud to publicly display that He is my God, that He's my Savior, that He's my King and my Father. I'm not ashamed. The Apostle Paul says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Not ashamed. So when I ask the question today, are we truly standing for Christ? Are we truly standing today? As in Jesus' day, the Pharisees that were there, they established this culture that was kind of a religious superiority. They had this culture that they were better than everybody else. Like, we have this all together. Kind of this elitism that you can't even reach the top. But Jesus, when he came, he wasn't exclusive, but he was inclusive. You know, he invited everybody to come. It was an invitation for everybody when he would speak. Anybody wants to hear, you can hear. Anybody wants to listen, you can listen. Anybody wants to follow me, you can follow after me. He preached the gospel. He was inclusive. He preached it to the Jews. He preached it to the Gentiles. He'd go down to Samaria. He'd go down to Jerusalem. He'd preach the gospel to people who were sick, people who were well, people who were poor, people who were rich. He'd even talk to people with integrity, or talk to the woman at the well who had five husbands and had another man. I mean, he just hit everybody. Whoever wants to listen, you can listen. Whoever wants to hear, you can hear. You can follow me. Anybody wants to follow me. The invitation's out for everybody. But there comes a point, though, where Jesus demanded more. He demands more. All the crowds that are following after Jesus, a lot of them are just coming after the buffets, the Texas Roadhouse rolls. That's what we're here for, these buttery rolls. We're just listening to Jesus, but we're really here for the food. I mean, this is what we're here for. But there came a point where Jesus demands more. He calls out to his followers, his disciples, Peter, right? Peter's fishing, and he comes to Peter. He's running his business. He says, Peter, drop everything and follow me. Drop it all and follow me. Just to put this in perspective, I just want you to envision yourself going to work maybe tomorrow, and Jesus comes up to your desk and says, hey, I want you to drop everything and follow me. Well, Jesus wouldn't ask me to do anything like that. My question is, do you have a Bible? Have you read it? Because Jesus would definitely do something like that. That's what he would do. He comes to James and John, and they're out fishing with their father. And he says, I want you to leave your dad. I want you to leave your fishing business. Leave your hometown. Leave it all. Drop everything and follow me. So that's what they did. They dropped everything and began to follow after Jesus. Because there's this point where Jesus expects us to commit to him, to say, you know what, we're going to stand for him. We're choosing to stand to him, for him, to follow him fully. He expects us to get to this point. Just some scriptures here in Matthew 16, 24. I just want to read this. It says, then Jesus said to his followers, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing to give up their lives to follow me. Has anybody posted that on Facebook recently? I don't think any of us have posted that one recently. I mean, give up the things that you want, must be willing to give up their lives to follow me, because the issue is we live in a me-centric society today and not a Christ-centric. We want to add Jesus to our lives and just add him to what we're doing. We're pulling our wagon along. We just want to throw Jesus in there and just kind of do our own thing. And the question is, are you really following after Jesus, or have you invited him to follow you? Because the way I see it in scriptures here, we got to lay down our lives. It's picking up your cross, denying yourself, your wants, your will, his desires, to pick up his. It says this in Matthew 10, 38. This is the Amplified version. He says, he who does not take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example, and if need be suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. I mean, that's some heavy stuff. And Jesus said, if anybody's wanting to follow after me, it's not willing to do it. He's not worthy of me. In other words, Jesus had an expectation at some point, you're going to have to take a stand for him. The question is where do you stand? Where do you stand? Because there's many people all throughout the scriptures who said, you know, we'll stand for you, Jesus, but they didn't. We'll stand for you, but they didn't end up doing it. Remember the young rich ruler? He's like, I've been living your word. I know your word. And Jesus says, well, here's the issue. You love your money more than you love me. So here's the deal. Give all your money to the poor and follow after me. But he couldn't do it because he loved his money more than he loved God. He loved the world more than he loved God. The people that were showing up for the buffets and the Texas Roadhouse rolls, Jesus came to a point where he's talking about commitment. And they begin to walk away and talking about hard stuff. And they're like, should we even listen to this anymore? I don't think the rolls are worth it today. They just begin to walk away. And there's people in Luke who said that, you know what, we'll follow you, Jesus. But Jesus like, heads up, there's not going to be any hotel accommodations tonight. And they're like, man, we'll pass. I was hoping there'd be a jacuzzi tonight. They wouldn't follow after him. A lot of people said, I'll follow you, but first, let me do this, that, and the other. A lot of people say that. I'll follow you, but first, let me do this, that, or the other. Let me go see my family. Jesus says, no, you drop it all and follow after me. Leave it all and follow after me. You got to know where you stand. Because if you don't know where you stand, you'll either stand for everything or you'll stand for nothing. And that is our society today. You either stand for everything or you stand for nothing. You got to know where you stand because Jesus is expecting him to stand for him. To stand for him, what Christianity is, it's not being perfect all the time. It's not always getting it right. It's not always just about faltering or failing. But what Christianity is, it's saying, I'm going all in, 100% in. I'm giving it all. I'm surrendering all. Even in that moment when I falter or fail, a righteous man might get up, fall 6 times, but he'll get up again. And having an attitude that says, no matter what, I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to follow after Jesus. I'm going to give my all. I'm not going to back down, cower down, falter, shrink back, but I'm going to commit to him and stand for Jesus. It's all in surrender, giving you everything, my life. Not shrinking back. Not falling back, not cowering down, but saying, I'm standing for Christ. Have you heard maybe some people today that they say, you know, it's just hard to be a Christian nowadays. Just hard to be a Christian maybe in our society or our world today. But you look back 2,000 years ago, the first century believers, they had it hard. I mean, these people were crucified on crosses. They were beheaded for their faith in Jesus. They were beaten, tortured, stoned to death because of their faith in Jesus. And we get upset because we post something on Facebook about Jesus and people don't like it. You think that's persecution? But these people, they were picked up, dragged out of their homes, taken to the Roman Colosseum, fed to lions, tigers, and bears for the amusement of the Romans. We think we have it tough. We don't really have it that tough in America today. We're not being persecuted. Yeah, in other places in the world, there are people still being martyred for the gospel's sake. There's still people being killed because of the gospel. But not in America, at least. We're not really being heavily persecuted. It's not that bad for us right now. But they had it tough in their day. There's even some times where they would bring them into the Colosseum and they'd be standing in the face of wild beasts and animals and somebody would say something like this. They would say, recant! Deny him, and we'll let you live. Deny your faith in Jesus, and we'll let you live. Standing in the face of wild beasts and animals, and men and women would not recant. Said, no, we're not doing it. We're not backing down. We're not shrinking down. We're not faltering right now. We can't do it. And men and women were killed because they would not deny Jesus. They're like, we cannot deny him. We can't shrink back. We can't cower down right now because we know who he is. We know he is Lord. He is the Savior. He is our God. He is our Father, and he hasn't denied us, and we're not going to deny him right now. I just want to say this today. Right now is not the time to be silent. It is not the time to shrink back. Now is not the time to just be still at this very moment. But now is the time to open your mouth and begin to declare the things of God right now. Now is the time to stand up as believers and sons and daughters of God right now. Now is the time to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth right now. Now is the time to awaken and to arise and step in the place that we're called to be. As sons and daughters, all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons. Yes. To stand up for Christ. It's not the time to play church, religious ceremonies. But now's the time to stand up for Christ. We got to stand up for Him. You know, there's a lot of people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, that stood up for God. They stood up for Christ and they had faith in God. Many examples all through the Old Testament, the New Testament. One in Genesis was Noah. Noah, it said that he was blameless in an evil generation. And he lived a life that the Lord was pleased with. Nobody was serving God. Nobody was seeking God. Nobody was honoring God. But there was one man that said, you know what? I'm going to stand up. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be obedient to God. And God gave him a task that nobody understood. He didn't even understand. Building this boat when it even rained, this giant ark, and everybody's like, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. And nobody was seeking God. It was an entire evil generation. But one man said, you know what? Even if nobody's going to stand, nobody's seeking God, nobody's honoring God, I'm going to stand. If nobody else is, I will. And I think you've got to get determined in your heart. If everybody around me begins to maybe step back and cower down, that I'm determined that I'm going to stand. I'm not going to cower back, shrink back, but I'm going to stand in a generation that desperately needs me to stand. Noah stood. He stood. He stood up. Not only did he, but there's some people in Daniel by the names of Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach, thank you. Like, what is the other name? You know, and I know we're getting creative with baby names. I probably wouldn't use those. Just saying, if you have, I'm not trying to put it down, but I'm like, I probably wouldn't name my kid that one. But here's these three boys. And what had happened in their time is the King Nebuchadnezzar, he had taken the city and taken the king, the holy things, and began capturing the people and bringing them into Babylonian captivity. He told his officers, I want you to get the youngest men, the smartest, brightest men, and they're like between the ages of 15 and 20. And he says, I want you to teach them about our culture, about our gods. And he began to change their names. They wanted to change their identity because they wanted to erase the Hebrew culture and implement a new culture. Nothing's really changed in 1,000 years. It's still doing the same thing, still targeting our kids and our students, trying to race in a culture, establish a new one, saying it's just dumb to believe in God, it's dumb to have faith. Nothing new is happening today. But these three boys, they brought him in the king's palace. They said, you can eat the king's food and have his wine. And man, I'd be like, if I'm going down, might as well go down with the best. I don't mind if I do. But they're like, we're not doing it. Tell the king, we are not doing it. We're not eating food that's been offered up to idols. We're not going to do it, because they were more concerned about their standing with God than their own lives, even in Babylonian captivity. We're not doing it. And the king's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You see that statue out there? It's like 90 feet tall, and I'm going to bring out the worship team, and we're going to play a song, and you're going to get down on your knees and face and begin to worship the thing. So that's what we're going to do. And the entire nation began to bow once the song began to play, and they began to worship this statue and this idol, but three boys didn't bow. And one of the officers came to the king. He's like, hey, you remember those three boys we got out of Judah? They're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're not bowing. They still love their God. He's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play that song one more time, and I suggest you get on your face. You begin to worship. Because you see that furnace over there? I'm going to crank it up hotter than it's ever been before. And if you don't bow, I'm going to burn you to a crisp. That's what he said. And I like what they said in Daniel. I'm just going to read this here. It says this. They said, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from this furnace. He will save us from the furnace. He will save us from your power. And the next part I like even more, he says, but even if God doesn't save us, even if he doesn't save us, they're saying, you know what? We're not going to bow. We're not going to worship to your idols. We're not going to do it. God is able to save us and deliver us, but even if he doesn't save us, we're still not bound. We're drawing a line in the sand. We're not bowing and worshiping your idols. You're not telling us to worship anything or anyone other than Jesus. We're taking a stand for God right now. We're drawing a line in the sand saying we're not doing it. We're standing for God. There is only one king and his name is Jesus. It's a perfect example for standing for God. And I've just tried to picture myself in that situation. Would I have enough courage to do that in that moment? I'd like to think that I would by the grace of God, but that's heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff. And I just pray and I hope that in America that we never get to a place where they demand things like that, that if the Lord tarries in our generation, if maybe things don't get better, and I'm believing that they are, praying that they are, there's a turn in America, but if it comes to a place where I have to obey either the law or God, I'm just predetermined in my heart. I'm obeying God. I'm obeying him because I believe God is instilling something in our hearts that says, come hell or high water, I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to cower down. I'm not going to falter back, but I'm going to stand up and open my mouth and declare the goodness of God, the glory of God, that I am his son, that I am his daughter, that I'm going to stand for him. Maybe if nobody else does, I'm going to. In Acts, there's another name, man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was seemed like an interesting guy. We don't know too much about him, but what we do know speaks volumes about him to us. It says that he was full of faith, but not only full of faith, he was full of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling on the inside of us. Same Spirit. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. I don't think I've arrived to that understanding yet. But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. But it says he's full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, which meant he had a wisdom that would flow through him. He just had this wisdom that would flow through him. So when the religious leaders began to argue with him, there was a wisdom that flew through him that they couldn't counter. They couldn't argue anymore. It's like, he's got us. We can't counter that. So what they begin to do is they begin to lie about him. They're like, this man is blaspheming God. So they arrested him, took him before the religious leaders. And did Stephen shrink back, cower down, falter back? No. He stood up as a man of God and began to recount Jewish history. And he got up to the point of Jesus saying, Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, FYI, you guys killed him. And they were infuriated. They were angry. They took him out. They began to stone him till he began to lose his very own life. I mean, he was the first martyr we see in Acts. He began to lose. He died. They killed him because of his standing for Jesus. But it says when they were stoning him, when they were hitting him, he said, he looked up and he said, I see the glory of God and I see the Son of Man standing. It's interesting because all of Scripture references Jesus when he's at the right hand of God. He's always sitting. He's always sitting. Just some examples here in Matthew where Jesus is sitting. It says, the Bible says hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand. Colossians 3, it says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. See it all throughout Scripture. Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Over and over and over, all throughout Scripture, we see Jesus at the right hand of God sitting. But it's interesting when Stephen's getting hit, when he's getting stoned, he looks up and he sees Jesus standing. Why in the world is Jesus standing when all the Scriptures we have him sitting? Just to give my opinion on it, in Psalms 34:10, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ear is open to their cry. So if you're sitting here today and you wonder if God knows what's going on in your life, he knows what you're going through, it says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears hear their cry. God is not disconnected in your life. He knows what is going on. But I think when they were stoning Stephen, when they were persecuting him, I think all of heaven was paying attention. I think all of heaven was standing. And when Stephen stood up for Jesus, I believe Jesus stood up off his throne and stood for Stephen and said, "That is my son. That is my son." He's standing, that faith, he's standing for me. I believe Jesus got up off the throne and began to stand for Stephen, what Stephen stood for Jesus. I believe there's some things on this earth, this life that gets, that we can do that gets all of heaven's attention, that heaven begins to stand, that Jesus himself begins to stand and says, "You know what? That's my son. That's my daughter. Look at their boldness. Look at their courage. Look at their love. Look how they're living their life for righteousness for my name's sake. Oh, I'm so proud of them. That's my son. That's my daughter." He begins to stand for us. I think that's maybe what happened. Jesus was standing. He saw him standing. I think it's time to stand. It's time to stand. How do we stand? I think we stand with courage. We stand courageously. Courageously. You know, courage is boldness. It's confidence. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. We're bold. We're courageous. And I think we can be courageous because God is with us. God is with us. It's what it says in Joshua 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And we can take courage that we can stand courageously because our God is with us. He's with us. He never sleeps. He never grows weary. He never grows tired. "But I'm with you." That should give us confidence where we can take courage. I think we can stand courageously because Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome the world. It says this in John 16, 33. It says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." We can take heart or take courage because Jesus, our mighty conqueror, has overcome the world. And there's nothing that can conquer him. He has given us the victory in him. I think we can stand courageously today because nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is what it says in Romans. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in creation can separate us from the love of God. He is holding on to you and he is never going to let you go. You can stand courageously today because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I think we can stand courageously today because God will strengthen us. This is what it says in Isaiah 41. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." You know, we can't maybe part Red Seas in ourselves, but God can through us. He can strengthen us. He's the one who empowers us, who gives us strength. We can stand courageously because God is the one who can strengthen us. How do we stand? I think we stand courageously today. I think it's time for us to stand as sons and daughters of God. I don't want to play church or just do church things, but I want to stand as the son that God has called me to be to this generation. We have a purpose. We have an assignment. The world is waiting on each and every one of us. And I want to say in my heart that I'm going to stand for you, that I'm going to give it my all for you, Jesus. I'm going to run this race ahead of me, full strength for you. If nobody else does, I'm going to, because you're worthy of it, God. You're worthy of it, Jesus. Now's the time to stand, not cower back or falter or shrink back. Now is not the time to be silent or to be still, but to begin to declare the things of God. Open your mouth, declare his word, declare his goodness, declare the truth, and saturate it in grace and love, and minister the way that Jesus ministers, and watch us impact the world around us. It's time to take a stand. I'm going to stand for Christ. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. If you say, "You know what? I'm going to stand today. I'm going to stand for Christ. I'm going to stand courageously. I'm predetermining in my heart that I'm standing for him. If you just say that in your heart today, I just want you to do a prophetic act and just stand this morning. Say, you know what? We're standing for you, Jesus. We're going to stand with confidence. We're going to stand with boldness today. We're going to stand with courage this morning. So, Father, we are just saying right now that we are standing for you. We're not going to shrink back, be silent, be still, God. But, Lord, we are standing for you, for your glory, for your kingdom, for your purposes, for your will today, God. So I thank you, Father, for empowering us, God, giving us boldness. We ask for boldness today, God. We ask for boldness. We ask for courage today, God, to not keep our mouths closed. And we ask you for wisdom today, even, God, of how to navigate this world through your Holy Spirit. So I thank you today for mighty sons and daughters this morning. Say, you know what? We're standing for you, Jesus. Come hell or high water, we're not shrinking back. We're not backing down. We're going to declare the things of God. We're going to declare your word. We're going to declare your goodness. We're going to declare who you are to this world. We're going to be a light in the darkness, salt of the earth, city on a hill. That's who we're going to be to the world around us. So we just say today, Jesus, that we stand. We stand. We're standing for you this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're for us. Nothing can separate us from your love. You're with us. You're strengthening us. You've overcome the world. I don't think we can lose with you, God. You've set us up for success. So I thank you today for boldness over your people, for courage over your people today. As your sons and daughters, as we leave this place and to the world around us, to our families, to our community that you've set us in and assigned us to, I thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles coming forth from us. People being healed, people being set free, people being delivered, people being saved, people being filled with your spirit through us, God. And I thank you for stirring a passion in each and every one of us for the lost that don't know you, that are in darkness, that are trapped, that are broken, that are hurting. Lord, we ask that you would renew a passion in each and every one of us today for the lost and dying world around us, that we would not be satisfied just sitting still, sitting in the pews in the church, being silent, sitting back, that we would not be satisfied, that there would be an unholy dissatisfaction, there would be a holy dissatisfaction in each and every one of us today, God. Lord, that says we are not satisfied where we're at and just sitting still. But we want to see people come to you, to know you. So I thank you today for your grace and your love this morning, Jesus. And I thank you for your sons and daughters this morning. Speak boldness over them. Speak courage over them. Speak strength over them. Speak a renewed passion over them this morning. Father, we just declare that we're standing for you. We are a church, a people that's standing for you. So we thank you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you today, Father. If there's anybody today that's not accepted Jesus in their heart, and you're saying, you know what, today I want to stand for Jesus. I want him to come into my life, come into my heart. I just want to give you an opportunity. If that's you this morning, say, I want Jesus in my life, my heart. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. I see my sister over there. I see my brother back there. You see those around you there that raise their hand? Just stretch your hands toward them this morning. Father, we thank you for those that raise their hands today that say, you know what, I'm standing up for you, Jesus. This might be the first time I've ever done it, but I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my heart to you. I'm coming to a place of surrender. of my life to your lordship. So I thank you as they've chosen today, say, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you this morning. Lord, I thank you, Father, for filling them today with your spirit, filling them with your love this morning, wrapping your arms of love around them, Father. They know that you are a good Father, a good God today, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for empowering them, washing away all their past this morning. I thank you for a new identity that you place in each and every one of them this morning, Father, that you call by name, that you know them today, Father. You know who they are. You created them today, Father. So I thank you as they take the step forward into your kingdom. I thank you that all of heaven is celebrating today. All of heaven is rejoicing. All of heaven is standing today because they're saying, you know what? I'm standing for you, Jesus. And I believe you're standing over them saying, yeah, that's my son. That's my daughter. Yeah, they chose me today. They belong to me. So I thank you for them today, Jesus. Those are saying, I'm giving my life to you this morning. So we thank you for the seeds being sown today. We thank you for filling with your spirit this morning, God. We thank you for just grace upon them this morning as they've given their life to you today, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Can we just thank him for a second? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're good, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. So amazing. So awesome. God, we thank you that we're your sons and daughters today, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love. And we thank you and we praise you. Speak a blessing over your people today, God, as they leave this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for just continuing to speak to their hearts as they leave this place this morning. Father, we just say thank you today. Thank you for your heart, for your goodness, for your love. And that we stand for you today, Jesus. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.